Amen. I hope that you enjoyed your time of communion. I'd like to start off with a scripture. Again, welcome to the Wichita Church of Christ. If you'd like to look at this passage, it's in 1 John. 1 John. Starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read from the Amplified versions, just so this is, you know, to add a little surround sound to the scriptures here. You know, not adding to the scriptures, mind you. 1 John, in chapter 1, this is going to springboard us into our time together in God's Word. John says, "We are writing about the Word of life in Him who exists from the beginning, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes, whom we have gazed upon for ourselves and have touched with our own hands. And the life, an aspect of His being, was revealed, made manifest, demonstrated, and we saw as eyewitnesses and are testifying to and declare to you the life, the eternal life in Him who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us, His followers. We have seen and ourselves heard. We are also telling you so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we are now writing these things to you so that our joy in seeing you included may be full, and your joy may be complete. And this is the message of promise, which we have heard from Him and are now reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. No, not in any way. So if we say that we are partakers together and enjoy fellowship with Him when we live and move and are walking about in darkness, we are both speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth which the gospel presents. But if we really are living and walking in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, removes us from all sin and guilt, and keeps us cleansed from sin in its forms and manifestations. If we say we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude and lead ourselves astray, and the truth which the gospel presents is not in us and does not dwell in our hearts. If we freely admit that we ascend and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promise, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everything not in conformity to His will and purpose and thought and action. If we say and claim we have not sinned, we contradict His word and make Him out to be false and a liar, and His word is not in us. The divine message of the gospel is not in our hearts." Let's stop there. It's a pretty powerful passage. Talks a lot about fellowship, and if you're visiting with us, we'd like to extend to you a very special welcome. I don't know if you've received one of these invites. It talks about making a New Year's resolution to get into spiritual shape. And get into spiritual shape with us. And so we're kind of going through some basic things that we believe as a church. And we're talking about those things publicly, and we've talked about God's vision for the church. We've talked about God's word. We've talked about Jesus and His call to all and any who will receive the call to follow Him and what that means to follow Him. And this morning we're going to talk about walking with God. That's our first 3 months. Walking with God, in a sense, walking in the light, walking in the light. You know, when I think about what we just read, I'm reminded of an interview that I saw from the K-State basketball coach. His name is Frank Martin. And he was getting interviewed, and they were talking to him about, man, why do you shuffle your players out? You know, you shuffle out starters. It's like, man, there's no holes barred. Nobody has a secure spot on your team. And Frank said, you know, I mean, you know how, if you know who he is, he's intense. And he said, you know what? For the life of me, I can't understand why somebody would be on a team and not be playing to the best of their potential and believe that they're supposed to be on the floor. That doesn't happen on my teams. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you can do. If the starters aren't getting it done, I'll bring in the bench. Nobody is excluded. When it comes time for game time, hey, if you're not up to par, if you're not up to speed, if you're not giving your best, forget it. I don't care what it looks like to reporters. I don't care what it looks like to the scouting report of the other team. I don't care what it looks like to parents and relatives who come to visit. And why. I don't care. Then he went on to say, I can't understand what's going on in the NFL. I thought he was talking about Mark Sanchez, but I don't know. Only a few people caught that. I'm sorry. But he said, you know, I can't even fathom how a guy can be a starter and not be on his game and get to play. Ever since I started watching football, I've been trying to figure that out. If somebody's playing horrible, you got to get them out of there. You know, we all know that God doesn't necessarily think that way. We all know that there is something to being patient with people and people growing into positions and these different types of things. But there was something that was really real about what Frank Martin had to say. There's a reality to understanding where we're at. And whether it's at that game or some other time down the line, we'll all be faced with the reality of how much we gave. And, you know, as we talk about walking in the light, we're talking about something that when we talk about, well, we're going to talk about sin a bit here. And when we start talking about that, that's a controversial subject. It's controversial in the sense that when people start hearing the idea of let's talk about sin, I don't want to be judged. You're going to judge me? You know, you get the criticism. You know, you get the cowardice. You know, cowardice in the sense that man, we don't always want to talk about sin and what sin really is because we don't want to run people off. And then there's compromise. There's compromise. You know, if this is what sin really is, and I say something about this, then I'm kind of putting myself out there on the block. Because it pertains to me too. And so if I just don't say anything about it, if I kind of skate around it, then I'll be all right. But, you know, as we look at Scripture and we experience or we think about what it really means to walk with God, just like that passage, if we are walking in darkness, we don't have fellowship with God. It's not in our hearts, and we don't have fellowship with the believers. You know, therefore, for us to talk about sin from the pulpit, therefore, for us to kind of point some things out and take some time to kind of just look at some scriptures and minus all the stories and what the Bible says about walking with God is of utmost importance. In my 3 years here, we haven't gone here. But I believe we're ready to go here right now. As we talk about being devoted, you know, there's just, you can't be devoted to God and not deal with sin. Amen? I mean, think about it. You can't be married to somebody and not be married to them.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be on a team and get the benefits of the team and not show up. And so, you know, as last year we talked about being devoted together. This year we're talking about being devoted together and walking with God and walking in the light. Amen? And walking in the light. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. And look at some scriptures here. Look, you got a little love here. We got some scriptures up here for you. And that's in the Amplified Version there, mind you. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. We're talking about walking in the light. We're talking about walking with God. Scripture says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I don't know if you've ever, let's just stop there. I don't know if you've ever seen on TV or been in one of these situations where somebody sees somebody's kid that they're like, man, you are not acting like your parents trained you to act. You know, we usually hear about it in royalty on TV. You know, man, you're a prince and you're living like this? This isn't where you come from. You know, as Christians, this passage clearly points out that those that follow God, they live out His virtues. They live within His wonderful deeds. They are a reflection of God's light. They're a reflection of someone that is being transformed, that has been transformed, that is no longer living in the world. In verse 10, Scripture says, once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and receive mercy. I want you to think about before becoming a Christian, before being in a right relationship with God, what that meant for those of you who understand what I'm talking about. Life was different. You felt like, man, it's not working out for me. It's never working out for me. And I don't have any answers. You know, you become a true disciple of Jesus Christ and you become a part of a family. You're not baptized into a relationship with God only. You're baptized into the family of God as well. For some of us that haven't had families, we now have a family that's looking out for our best interests and striving for the same thing that God has called all families to. He's designed family to be. Right. You know, do you live like a child of the light? You know, because when you're talking about walking with God, it is walking in the light. Amen? Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened at all, that it cannot save, nor His ear dull with deafness, that it cannot hear. The reality is your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. You know, this passage talks about the ideal that our sin separates us from God. You might want to go back to that little picture there. And this is the picture of, you know, that looks like me. Amen. Probably at 19. The ideal is that sin separates us from God. You know, when we're separated from God, we're not in the light, we're in darkness. And every person is either in darkness or they're in the light. There is no twilight zone. You know, the question that I'd like for you to ask yourself this morning is, where are you at? You know, in order for man to have a right relationship with God, that wall has to be broken down. And that's not a wall that you can break down by working. That's not a wall that somebody else can tell you that you're okay. That wall has to be broke down by God's Son, Jesus Christ, and the acceptance of Him as your Savior. The point in time when sin is forgiven, the point when a person is saved is when that wall is broken down. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 3. Romans 3. We're just going to roll through these scriptures. Amen? You know, I heard one of my buddies one time, he's saying, man, you know, I don't want to talk about the bad news. I want to talk about the good news. I'm not going to talk about the bad news. I want to talk about the good news. And I thought about that and I was like, you know what? There's a time and a place. And there's also a mature perspective that when we understand the truth of the gospel, that it's all good news. It's bad news when we're in a bad place. Amen? Amen? So I think there has to be a balance here. Romans 3 and verse 23. Since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives, all are justified and made right and made upright and in right standing with God freely and graciously by His grace, His unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus, amen, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and a propitiation by His blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith that was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. You know, I just talked about that. I just talked about the ideal that Jesus is the answer to sin. Amen? Jesus is the answer to sin, and full acceptance and clinging to and relying on and allowing the words of God, the life of Jesus, to become your life. There's something that we got to get here off of the top. Everybody's a sinner. You know, I know sometimes I talk about my life and the different things that I've gone through, and some of you go, you know, that's not my wheelhouse. I don't understand being out on the street and dealing with all these unsavory characters and all these different things. You might want to pull that diagram up. You know, according to this passage, who has sinned? Everyone has sinned. You know, there's this one diagram that has A, B, and C. One is a little sin. B is a little bit more sin. There you go. And C is a lot of sin. I would be 1,000 billion trillion times C there. And some of you are at A. And I want to ask you this question. Who's further away from God? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Therefore, a good moral life doesn't save you. You know, if you really start to study out what the Bible says about sin, you start looking at that, it's, you know, everybody's covered. Amen? There's flavor for everybody. Even the person that likes tapioca with the pecan nuts, there's a flavor for everybody. You know, you're saved by faith in the blood of Jesus. You know, what I want to look at right now, we're just going to take some time. I think this is super important. We're going to take some time. We're just going to, what is sin? What is sin? Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read through that. Amen? We're just going to talk about it. And what I've got here is I've got, for anybody that would like a handout that talks about specific sins in Galatians 5:19, maybe you don't understand some of the wordage. There's some, could you hold that up, Wendy? There's some papers right there. Raise your hand if you'd like to get one of those papers. We'll just start handing those back. Can I get a Emmy? Could you help hand those out too, please? So this is the time when you can get up and get your stretch on real quick. It's not seventh inning, but amen. Galatians chapter 5. Starting in verse 19. Now, the doing, the practices of these of the flesh are clear. They're obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, a partying spirit, factions, sects with particular opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you know, I don't know about you. I grew up pretty in a religious setting. I went to a Christian university. I won't get into why I went to a Christian university. Out of high school, I went to San Jose Bible College. I mean, so I've been around the Word of God. I've been around religion. I've been around a lot of different things spiritually. Amen. And I kind of rested on that. When somebody met me and they said, hey, you want to study the Bible? I was like, study the Bible, man. I passed my Greek class. I passed my Hebrew class, too. I passed Old Testament. I passed New Testament. Man, I know about the Bible. I just don't want to live it right now because I got some things that I'm trying to accomplish that don't include the Bible. But you know, maybe we can visit that if I get all of the things that I'm trying to get. And this dude for 3.5 years was asking me, do you want to study the Bible? And as time went on and I started looking at my life and the different things that were going on and me calling myself a Christian and watching this guy's life, man, I just came to the realization, man, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid to look at what the Bible has to say. I don't know if I've really ever looked at what the Bible said. I don't know. And in all my years at Shiloh Baptist, I don't know if it was ever publicly announced what sin was. I know that my folks didn't talk about what sin was. According to the Bible, I know that nobody asked me after to looking at what the scriptures say about sin. Are you a sinner? Are you living this lifestyle? Because if you are, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so I feel like it's super important that we publicly just go through these. Amen. So we ain't making no mistake. And if you start squirming and all those different things, amen. You can repent. This is the time in our time together that you're not thinking, oh, yeah, this is for Andrew Tovar. Oh, you know what? This is for Randy Ware. Man, you know what I'm saying? I hope he's hearing this. You know, this is the time I want you to put yourself in this place. That I remember sitting down in the study. There was like 7 guys studying the Bible with me. You know, they had to bring the heat. And there were 7 guys sitting there. And there was no mistaking that this Bible study was for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, let's look at Galatians 5. And it's like, you know, this is for you. Don't start looking around and talking about your mama and all these other people. We're talking about you. And I'm saying that in the Lord to you right now, that this is the time for you to imagine yourself sitting at a table and getting presented with, this is what sin is. This is what prevents an individual from walking in the light and having fellowship and being a true disciple. Sexual immorality, fornication, any sexual union outside of marriage denotes ungodly sexual acts and relationships, prostitution, rape, homosexuality, petting, adultery, child abuse, and bestiality. Impurity. Any sinful thinking. Any vulgar, wrong thoughts. Lust, masturbation, wrong motives, pornography, fantasy. Debauchery. Any misuse of the body. Unusual, referring to sexual excess, but in general refers to a readiness to indulge in any pleasure, indecency, lewd dancing, anorexia, bulimia. There is no respect for anyone else. In this state of mind, in this state, man is at the mercy of his passions, enslaved. Impulses, emotions, etc. He's completely undisciplined. Gives in to gluttony, laziness, smoking, cravings, masturbation, and unlimited pleasure. Idolatry. Worshipping anything other than God. Giving or devoting one's time, substance, talent, self to anything that keeps one from obeying and following God in every way. Status symbol, investment, engrossing in sports and hobbies, selfish ambitions, relationships, property, possessions, pleasure and wants, school, work, pride, praying to anyone other than God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. Witchcraft. Seeking or being involved in any spiritual realm other than God's, including astrology, the star control. Consequently, God does not rule. Horoscopes, Satan worship, palm reading, channeling, the New Age movement, Ouija board, etc. Hatred, wishing ill or harm on anyone, looking down on anyone, bitter feelings, resentment, wanting revenge, murder, and abortion. Discord, anything that breaks up relationships, stirring up trouble, an inability to get along with people, arguing, slandering, gossiping, malicious talk, and criticalness. Jealousy, possessiveness, not sharing, fits of rage, uncontrolled anger, losing temper, temper tantrums, quick temper, angry shouting, cussing, profanity, fighting, selfish ambition, living to please self, wanting one's own way, getting what one wants at any cost, desiring to be first at any cost, overly competitive spirit, not willing to do menial or demeaning tasks, refusing to admit being wrong, arrogance, doing things for honor or glory, wanting to look good for others, refusing to compromise, pride, selfishness, and independence. Dissension, rebelling against authority, not submitting, habitual disagreeing, arguing, causing division, starting arguments, stirring up trouble, factions, feeling superior to others, cliques, refusing to associate with anyone because they are different for any other reason, wanting to be with your own kind, prejudice, bigotry, racism, envy, desiring something another person has while wishing that they did not have it at all, i.e. wealth, status, ability, physical features, spirituality, relationships, drunkenness, anything which causes one to lose control, intoxication, alcohol, drug abuse, orgies, living without restraint, including partying, sexual parties, unrestrained sex, vandalism and carousing, and the like, lying, stealing, cheating, deceit. Those are the things, those are the character traits. If you live in those on a regular basis, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those things are the things, those are called the sins of commission. You commit those things. You know, when I looked at that list and they started reading all of those, there was probably maybe one that I hadn't done. So it was like, man, right after, I mean, just for me, when we first started reading, I was had. What about you? Are these sins in your wheelhouse? Turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. Come on, let's get it. Let's get it. James chapter 4. You know, I'm going to take this snippet of scripture here, and it says, you know, so any person who knows the right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. So that's the sin of omission. You know, so if you were able to kind of slide out of the, you know, the 519 deal there, you know, and you're feeling kind of squeaky clean, you got out of there, man, if you have, show me how. Then you get hit with this James 4:17. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that's sin. Now, I want you to understand this, that there are so many things that fit into knowing the right thing and not doing it. To live in sin is to not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, if you're having problems connecting with God, if you're having problems connecting within the body, you probably seriously ought to look at those lists and see where you're at. The good news is that you can repent. You know, Scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And, you know, when we live in the sins of commission and the sins of omission, you know, that is a wage that we earn. You know, we earn a wage that's death. It's a physical death. It's a physical death of relationships. It's a physical death. It's a spiritual death. But when we repent and change and are baptized into Christ, we receive the gift of God. We're looking like time-wise here. No, don't say that. Somebody else will be mad at you. I won't.
Sister, can I talk to you?
Okay. Okay, amen. Amen. That's why I appreciate the Diaz. You know, after looking at those passages, you're either in the light or you're in the dark.
Yeah, come on.
And, you know, I consider myself a religious person and all these different things. But when I looked at these passages, you know, some of us, we consider ourselves Christians. Some of us consider ourselves disciples. But we still have to ask ourselves this question. Am I in the light or am I in the dark? Yeah, there's no gray area. You know, well, I'm kind of, you know, I'm on my way. Oh. Nuh-uh. You're in the light or you're in the dark. Let's talk about the light a little bit. Turn in your Bibles to John. John chapter 3. You guys doing all right out there? John chapter 3. Here's how we get to living in the light. John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. We okay out here?
Yeah.
Okay. Now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, an authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know and are certain that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these wondrous works, these miracles, and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that unless a person is born again anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his mother's womb again and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a man is born of water and even the Spirit, he cannot ever." Let me say that again. He cannot ever enter the kingdom of God. What is born of from the flesh is the flesh, and of the physical is the physical, and what is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Marvel not, do not be surprised, astonished at what I'm telling you. You must all be born anew from above. You know, to walk in the light means to be born again. To walk in the light means to be born of water and Spirit, to be born again, to no longer conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind into that of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You know, when we think about Nicodemus and him, you know, being of sound mind and able to ask the questions that he asked, you know, there's something to, I noticed that it says that he came at night. He was this big wig in his circle, but he came at night. So there's a little bit of you know, ashamedness, if that's a word, kind of trying to cover himself, sneaking around, and you know. But Jesus still hits him with the truth. You know, I don't know how many times in my studies and my interactions with this guy that reached out to me for 3.5 years, I told him, "Oh, I got baptized when I was, you know, 9 years old. Man, I got baptized when I was 4. Man, I got rebaptized when I was 15. You know, I rededicated my life to the Lord. How many times had I done that? I was like, good night. After a while, I started reading. When I read the scriptures, I was like, man, I should have just shut up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, good night. I mean, there's something to being baptized and being in the right mind, an adult mind and a mature mind to understand. Like in Acts when it says, man, they asked him to repent and be baptized and they told him many other things. You know, to get baptized into Christ, that's making an adult decision. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've seen many a character that got baptized into Christ, and they're, oh, does that mean that I got to just go to this church and hang out with you guys, and I got to come and be involved in the fellowship? That means that I got to follow God's word? I've seen people walk away. I've seen people that they got the hype, you know, the attention and all these different things, and they got involved, and then they saw, man, this is like building relationships anywhere else. It's some work. And they skipped out. I say that because it's important that we understand and being baptized into Christ, and there's reasons, amen, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. That we're hurt and those different types of things, but we got to deal with them in Jesus and not in human form. It's an adult decision that we're making to be baptized into Christ. The message that one must believe in order for him to be saved. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I'm turning the corner here. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. And you men of Israel, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and shown forth and commended and attested to you by God by the mighty works and the power of performing wonders and signs which God worked out, which God worked through him right in your midst. And as you yourselves know, this Jesus, when delivered up according to the definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and put out of the way, killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men. But God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it. And when you talk about what is a message that we need to believe in order to walk in the light, in order to walk with God. One, Jesus is from God. You got to believe that those miracles were real. They were at the point where they made evident that this is of God. You got to believe that Jesus was raised physically from the dead. You got to believe that everyone is responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. We got to believe that like Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. We got to believe that we're sinners, amen?
Right.
You know, think about the response of the people in Acts chapter 2 and 37. Can we go there real quick?
Yeah.
I think this has everything to do with walking in the light. And you know, this is kind of conversion here that we're talking about, but I think that even along the lines of when we hear God's word, this is the person that walks with God. This is their response to God's word. And when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, the special messengers, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered them, repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For somebody that wants to walk with God, for somebody that wants to walk in the light and no longer live in darkness, you've got to respond to the scriptures. You've got to allow what you hear. You've got to allow where you're at to cut you to the heart. There's got to be some alarm in us. You know, when I finally realized who I was, it didn't take long because it was just evident. And these guys got up from the table and said, okay, let's get together and study the Bible again. I was like, yo, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving till we get this right. I got to get my repentant baptized on.
Amen.
I'm not walking out of here, man. Are you kidding? The life that I led, man, I got it coming to me. I'm not so sure I can walk out of here and meet you guys in a week. I'm already on borrowed time. How many of us hear God's word and we're cut to the heart like that? And I'm not lifting up myself. I'm talking about these guys. When they heard God's word, they were cut to the heart. The question became, what shall I do? You know, how many of us are studying the Bible? How many of us as disciples are faced with God's word right now? And our response isn't, what must I do in order to walk with God? We start trying to set the terms. If all the stars line up in my world, then we try to make the truth of the gospel fit into our plans and purposes. We need to repent. We need to have a what shall we do. If you're here and you're studying the Bible, please leave here with it. Grab somebody. If you are in need of studying the Bible, grab somebody. What shall we do? Yeah, I'm that person. Yeah, amen. We all are. What shall I do? You know, once the people believed, what did they do? They repented. They turned away from. They changed their views. And they turned to God. They were baptized. They were baptized into Christ. And like Scripture says, they received the forgiveness of their sins. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And they were added to God's family. You know, if your conversion hasn't been like it says in the Bible, you really ought to study it out. And we're going to talk some more about this because all of this plays into walking with God. And you know, in Micah 6:8, turn in your Bibles to Micah 6:8. Because ultimately, when we talk about walking with God, it's about honoring Him. Honoring Him above all else. Micah 6:8. Can you give me a minute because I want to swap out to the NIV here. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, my hope and prayer for you this morning is that as you've come to a deeper understanding of what being in darkness is and walking in the light is, that based on the scriptures and God's Spirit prodding your heart wherever you're at, that you'll humble out and understand the whole of life is to walk humbly with your God, to love mercy and to live justly. Let's together walk with God. Let's together embrace the importance of walking in light. And to God be the glory.